May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be holy and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Now, if you've ever been in a position of leadership of any kind, if you've ever had to deal with people whose interests don't line up, whether that's at work or at school, or even within your very own family, there is a tried and true rule that will spare you a real headache should you remember it before you make any major decision. The rule is simple. You just can't please everybody. You can't please everybody. Sure, you can try to compromise, to find ways to address the concerns of everybody involved in such a way that everyone gets maybe not everything they want, but at least some of it. But eventually you will run into a situation where one person gets their way and another doesn't. That is bound to happen. And this feels like common sense to me, a lesson we all intuitively understand, which is exactly why I am always caught off guard when I arrive at today's passage from 1 Corinthians. To the Jews, the Apostle Paul says, I became as a Jew so that I might win the Jews. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law so that I might win those outside the law. I have become all things to all people so that I might by all means save some. I have become all things to all people. Talk about a problematic lesson from Christianity's foremost missionary. Or so it might seem at first glance. Paul, you see, isn't arguing that we should be two-faced, persuading people to our side of an argument by pretending to be something that we are not. Nor is he arguing that we can somehow please everybody. Rather, he is making a simple statement about what it means to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, the way of love. The God who took on human flesh and walked among us, the God who stepped into our human story, learned our customs, spoke our language. Paul's advice for the church is to communicate God's love in such a way that people understand it, and to go the extra mile should the need arise. This is a formidable task, this kind of love. Now, in Paul's context, of course, he was talking about a very particular issue plaguing the Corinthian community, maybe something that you don't get from the selection from the letter to the Corinthians today. In his context, in his day and age, people did not have room at home to hold large parties, so they often went to their local temple for feasts of all kinds. And at these temples, not synagogues per se, but a place where sacrifices were made to other gods, one would likely eat food that had already been sacrificed to a foreign idol. And some converts to the way of Jesus, people who believed that there was no God but the God of Israel, were okay with eating such food. If it was sacrificed to a God that did not exist, how would that compromise their faith? But others felt otherwise. Some had made great sacrifices in their own lives to join the Christian community. It was an affront to them to partake of this food that had been sacrificed to an idol. Those most likely to attend these feasts, additionally, were also those of higher status, people for whom these kind of social calls afforded them the benefits of high society. What Paul is calling for is for the well-connected to forego doing something that might be a stumbling block to those members of the community in a more precarious social position. It was a sacrifice made in the name of love, despite there being no reason in Paul's eyes to abstain from food sacrificed to idols in the first place. Friends, it is hard to discern when to make such a choice, but I believe it is a good reminder to us of the kind of love to which we are called, a love that considers others' interests first. You might make the choice, for instance, to forego making drinking the focal point of a social gathering so as to ensure that someone for whom alcohol is an issue feels welcome and valued. But this is just one example of many. The truth is that there is no simple answer for how to hold diverse needs and perspectives and opinions together in any one community. That is the wild experiment of the thing we call church, a place that hinges upon not agreement on every single detail, but our willingness to go the extra mile for our neighbor, whomever they happen to be, to be considerate of their needs, not as a judgment on our preferences or our needs, but as an invitation to deeper relationship, expanding our ability to love, one small step at a time. This is the way of Jesus, the invitation to see ourselves not as monolithic, self-sufficient people, but as people who can grow and change and learn ever new ways to show our love for others. Now, there is another way in which Paul's lesson lands here, one which has to do not just with individual choices at parties, but with a whole new way of being in the world. A few years ago, the British actor and artist Riz Ahmed sat down with a journalist to talk about his acting career. He is best known as of late for his prodigious performance in a movie called The Sound of Metal, in which he plays the role of a heavy metal drummer who begins to go deaf. You might have seen him in some other things here and there. And as Riz spoke to this journalist about his formative years, he described what it was like to be a Pakistani kid in a British boarding school, how he struggled with the casual and overt ways in which teachers and students alike made it known that they weren't used to rubbing elbows with the likes of him, how he struggled to connect the dots between where he was, where he came from, and the person he was in the process of becoming. And yet, he found places to connect the dots, ideas that stuck with him in that British boarding school. In the stuffy world of British literature, he found unlikely allies among the poets of the First World War, those who wrote about their experience in no man's land, that space in between enemy trenches where few, if any, soldiers survived. The man who ranges in no man's land, one poem read, is dogged by shadows on either hand. Riz realized, maybe only slowly at first in spurts and starts, that to be a person who found himself caught in the middle, stuck between two drastically different worlds, meant that he occupied a no man's land all of his own. He was true British for his Pakistani forebears, too foreign for his British boarding school. In Spanish, we have a phrase for that, ni de aquí, ni de allá, neither from here nor from there. So Riz had a choice to make. And it wasn't the one you might think of at first. Riz couldn't choose between where he was from and where he happened to be. But he could choose to view himself as a person stuck in the middle and forever alone, stuck without a people or place to call home. Or he could choose to view himself as a full-fledged citizen of no man's land, a person right smack in the middle of all the worlds that asked for his allegiance, a person who could, because he was stuck in the middle, actually be a part of everything. it has shaped his acting career. This sense of the affluence of connection he's able to craft with so many people. Friends, the Apostle Paul is inviting us into a new world. He invited Jew and Gentile, the wealthy and the dispossessed, to become full-fledged citizens of no man's land, that place that calls all our allegiances into question, so that we might truly learn the ways and customs of another. And in this world that offers us impossible, inflexible choices about who we consider a worthwhile ally or potential adversary, about who is worth our time and who isn't, what would it look like for you to choose otherwise? To become the kind of person willing to love those you weren't supposed to love? A single person willing to do that could change the world, my friend. A whole community driven by that vision, engaged in the never-ending enterprise of loving those at the very edge of their ability to love, making common cause with neighbors from every tribe, tongue, language, and nation. Well, I would love to see that community. I'm not sure if we've really tried it yet, though we get glimpses here and there. So we will just have to see what becomes of this wild experiment we call church. Amen.